What is up, internet? Welcome to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, where we try and bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. My name is Chad. I got a Brett and an Andy somewhere in cyberspace at different remote locations. I can't speak tonight, but that's going to bode well for the rest of this episode, I guess. How we doing, boys?
I'm good, sir. I just have a question, if I may start with a question.
You can start with a question in a second, but I want to address the fact that you just called me sir, because I don't think that that's ever happened. And I also feel like I'm at work when you say that, and I'm clearly on summer holidays, so don't call me sir.
Well, I'm just trying to be respectful before we completely unravel.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. Well, I appreciate the respect before you tear me to shreds, but continue.
I'm just going to ask you, what time is it right now?
It is 9:34 Eastern Standard Time.
And the only reason that's relevant to anybody listening is because I asked when we were recording today, and you said 9 o'clock. And as you said, we are 35 minutes late.
35 now, yep.
And just wanted to reiterate that I double-checked that we were good to go at 9, and yeah, we're now over half an hour beyond that point.
Yeah, fair enough. You were good to go. I thought I was good to go, and then I logged in and stuff didn't work. And then once we got stuff working, my almost 10-year-old daughter wanted to take the microphone and show you guys about the phenomenon of ASMR, which you guys didn't know anything about because we've chatted about this before we hit the air. But basically, she was trying to make you cringe by eating and drinking stuff very close to the microphone. It didn't work.
Well, we grew up in a time before the internet, and we played those games live. So,
well, no one's playing many games live these days. Everything is being done remotely.
fair point.
So, I'll start out by saying, wherever you are, I hope you are safe. And let's ask Brett, the third member of our team, how the heck he's doing. Where are you, Brett?
I'm sitting in Mississauga, Ontario, bored out of my tree and just kicking myself.
You're literally kicking yourself?
Well, no, Chad. My legs don't work.
Okay. I thought something had changed since last week. But I want to go back to the fact that Brett sounds like he's home in Mississauga and not at the cottage and quite miserable about it. Is that a fair assessment, Bretsky?
It's fairly accurate, yes. But we had some moments at the cottage on the weekend that required me to come home and take the bull by the horn, so to speak. And then I've got the podcast tonight that we're doing, and then some AMI neutral stuff to do tomorrow afternoon. And then I'm spending the weekend with the lovely Alexandra because it's her birthday.
Oh, yeah, you've be careful, given, buddy. Once it's on the internet, it's on the internet. So.
Yeah, I was like, you've just given her a name on the internet. Like, I'm all for you, and I'm through the moon, and I'm happy that you're in a nice relationship here. But these episodes don't go away. They are available on all major digital podcasting platforms. So, you know, that was the first plug of the night. So, you know, I wouldn't want you to be in a situation where, you know, months, years down the road, even when these are sitting still on the internet, you're like, oh, shouldn't have mentioned the name. But no, shout out to the lovely Alexandra. I look forward to meeting you eventually, somehow, perhaps.
So we're going to just spend the weekend together. And then Monday, I'm back with AMI doing some stuff. I'm not exactly sure what, but a producer with the channel contacted me and have a nice little chat on Monday, and then back up to the cottage either Monday night or Tuesday morning.
Buddy, you've got it all figured out. I want to go back to Andy. We kind of stepped on you there. Andy, if you didn't hear it, said, have you, when we were talking about when I said hello to your girlfriend by name, even though I haven't met her, he said, have you Facebook friended her yet? I have not. Andy knows that I do these things. I Facebook friend people before I meet them sometimes. So that's a thing.
Sometimes is an understatement.
I'm genuinely not too worried about that. It's going to be a case of, can you handle her? Can she handle you?
Oh, that's amazing. I don't think she can handle this. I don't think she's ready for this jelly.
Chad is a virtual friender, is my point.
That's okay. I don't even like Chad.
Fair enough. Who's Chad?
That's it.
Can we go back to she's not ready for this? We're rolling today already.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I just made a Destiny's Child reference, Andy. I'd hate for you to think it was TLC.
Or Beyonce.
No, that is Destiny's Child. That's my point. Well, you have been you've been doing the little sound bites for our last couple episodes, and if you've been following the podcast, you know that most recently we uploaded an interview with Kevin Davidson, which Brett missed because he was too chicken to talk hockey with a Bruins fan. But we've been doing these little clips, and so now we have to have another instance of not knowing who Beyonce is in the audio clip for this week.
Can I ask a question? Hopefully Kevin listens to us this week.
Well, if you see beauty of the internet, you can message him and ask him to listen. So absolutely go ahead.
I'm just wondering what kind of Bruins fan lives in Las Vegas?
Well, see, again, if you listen to the previous podcast.
I love right now that we're establishing the fact that Brett doesn't listen to, I mean, it's one thing to listen to your own podcast because that's pretty vain. I usually listen to the episode as a one-off just to make sure there's no gaps in any audio or any tech issues that Andy needs to fix because I don't know how to do that. Brett, though, that's pretty funny because, you know, he doesn't record the episode because obviously, truth be told, he wasn't well. He was under the weather, as we said on the air. And then he goes and now he's about to smack talk Kevin without knowing that that, you know, he's living in Vegas, but certainly not home for him. That's for sure.
Well, and that's fine. But I mean, he's a Bruins fan, which makes him the scum of the universe. Kevin, I love you. And he's living in Vegas.
Well, first of all, Vegas was established, what, three years ago?
2 years ago, maybe?
Two. So there's any, like, any real hockey fan, Vegas wouldn't be your first choice unless you're getting into hockey because of the Vegas Knights, right? So... So there's that. Does that make sense? I think that made sense.
Yeah, it made sense, but I won't accept it as an answer.
Okay. Secondly, again, if you listened to the episode, took an interest in what we do, maybe. Kevin grew up in BC, moved to Saskatchewan for a year of schooling where we met. He then moved in with my family for a few months, then went to Seattle, then Vegas. Cole's notes of Kevin Davidson.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm just hoping that he becomes a Seattle NHL hockey fan and decides to scrap the Bruins.
Well, again, he's in Vegas now. He's not in Seattle. So
my point is that he shouldn't be liking the Bruins.
I mean, once he grew up in the Cam Neely era. What's not to like about that?
Well, I mean, I grew up in an era where the Leafs have been terrible my entire life. Still love the Leafs.
That's fair. I guess he's not a Canucks fan. What are you going to do? I don't know.
Oh, well, shout out to Kevin, because we know that hopefully you listened to more than just the episode that you were on. But we've been lining up these guests, and that's been a very sort of COVID thing to do. I can't believe I just used that as an expression, but we've been trying to get some guests on to tell their side or to speak their story. Tonight's just the three of us. So for better or worse, the internet is stuck with I almost said cripple threat, Brett, almost. And then I pulled back from that one. And maybe we'll talk about that to start. You were posting earlier this week on your Facebook page, and you are not afraid of the word cripple. You use it a lot. And for some, that could be misconstrued or seen as offensive. Truth be told, if I'm being transparent, it's the one word that it's almost cringeworthy for me, just because I think it always conveys that kind of useless image to me. And I'm not a disabled versus differently abled versus handicapped or whatever we're calling ourselves. I'm not that guy. But there's always been something about that word. So to each their own, I got no problem with you for using it. But I think we were trying to kind of come up with ideas of, so first of all, let me throw it out there. You use it a lot. Do you get flack for it? And does it bother you at all?
I get flack for it all the time. I get people that staring at me. I get ridicule. I get torn a strip left, right, center. But I mean, I honestly, I would rather be looked upon as not having a disability than being looked upon as being crippled, disabled, differently abled, challenged, whatever. And I think that that's why I like using the term crippled, because I'm not disabled. I'm a person with exceptionalities. But
you are an exceptional young man.
So
thanks.
And I'm not playing devil's advocate here. I'm trying to understand. You are saying that for you, disabled person with a disability, handicapable.
I love handicapable because it reminds me of Family Guy.
I feel that those terms are more derogatory than the term I use.
It makes sense. To a degree, I guess, but I'm kind of with Chad in that I don't use the word. It's the one that I'm not even going to say cringeworthy. I don't really care. You guys know there's not too much that gets me worked up anyways. I think... for me, it all depends on intent, right? Like, if it's you using that word with the two of us, then fine, whatever. But if, I don't know, Joe Schmo on the street is like, look at those people with this differences of ability, insert your word, then I probably would have an issue with that, right? So...
I think there might be something to be said there, Andy, if I could jump in. And again, Brett, this is in the spirit of our podcast, just being as transparent as possible. I love where you're coming from, and you know, the language is interchangeable. We very clearly have great senses of humor about our own disabilities. But again, for that word, and again, I echo Andy's sentiments. Like, I mean, for example, I have... what I would consider to be quite a few non-disabled friends or normal or able-bodied or whatever we're calling them. And I would be like, yikes, if I heard that they were calling me their crippled friend. But I think that the point is just like, that shouldn't be part of the conversation anyways. They should just be like, no, that's my friend Chad. Oh, by the way, you know, or not even by the way, you know, his legs don't work. That's not part of the conversation.
So, I mean, let me say, I'm the first, and you guys know this. I'm the first person to say I hate labels in general.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand the fact that you don't want to be disabled or labeled as disabled. I'm going to start a rap trio. so yeah, I mean, I get it because, like, disability for me, right off the bat, you're at a disadvantage, right? And I think that's the whole root of the word. So. I get it. I completely get where you're coming from. I think just the cripple for me is just as derogatory, I think. So, yeah. And that's not to say, again, I really don't care. If I don't know you, I honestly don't care what you think. The root of the question is this. If you use that word so freely, my question to you is then how do you post to social media like how do you say it? Historic post of this is what these words were acceptable, however long ago, and now they're not. While still using that word, you know what I mean?
Because it's a classic case of knowing your audience.
Mm. I was waiting for you to get there, Brett. So, because I think there's you know some validation to that point too. So, you want to elaborate on the knowing your audience comment?
Well, here's the thing. Like, with this podcast, I and the two of you recognize that it's far reaching, but we don't necessarily know how many people in the disabled community that we know sit here and listen to it. We do recognize that there's an awful lot of people that we associate with that don't have disabilities that sit and listen to it. And I mean, when I use that word, and I won't use it again tonight. Stay tuned. I'll use it again on a later episode. But
hashtag real talk.
That's it.
Like real talk. Again, it's like I don't think it's necessary to use kid gloves in society just because I'm a disabled person.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I agree with that 100%. I just I wanted to get your perspective because, like I said, you and I'm not going to say you throw that word around like it's nothing, obviously. So I wasn't sure where you were coming from when you posted that to social media, right? So,
well, and again, I make no bones about it. Like, I'm not sorry, but I mean, for lack of whatever, if I offend people, please come talk to me. Just, I mean, I'm comfortable with it. I'm not using it to try and offend people. It's more of something that I use for my sake, not to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right. And I think too, maybe a further point there is, and again, we've already spoken, both Andy and I, that word is, and I use the term cringeworthy. Andy sort of stepped away from that, but it's always been a word that I don't use. You know, I think you being man enough to say, listen, I use it in my context. If I've offended you, I'm sorry. Let's have a dialogue about it. And hopefully, you know, you can understand or bring some level of understanding to it is enough in itself.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And like I said, I make no bones about the fact that I have a disability.
Well, no, that's honestly, that's what we... I don't want to say fight against because that's strong wording, but the whole reason behind our podcast is real talk. So we're not going to please anybody. I hope we please some people. But,
at least some of the time.
Can you justify using that word and then campaigning against the public use of that word? And campaigning, I just mean on social media. I don't mean don't you you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but you know what, Andy? Yeah, I know what you're getting at. No,
before you answer, I think you've answered the question very well. I'm not trying to attack you or dig
deeper. No, and I respect and appreciate that. The public's going to say what the public's going to say. You're not going to be able to change their mind.
Well, all I'm trying to say is I think if somebody called you on it, would you be able to defend what you do? Or is there even a need to?
It's realistically nobody's business. But if I was challenged hard enough to give an answer, yes, of course I could defend it.
No, I'm with you. And I again, with Chad... I don't have an issue with you using it. I think if anybody's qualified to use it, it would be
right. Yeah,
a person with a disability, right? So
That's it. That's some real talk about words tonight. And I think that
words with friends. Can you copyright that?
I think that one might have been taken. Moving on, Bretzky. Listen, it is what it is, and that's why we love you. That's why your one-off with us became a weekly thing, because you are no excuses, man, and I love it. And I'm totally with Andy in that, you know, it's a lot more acceptable for you to use than for a member of the, you know, non-disabled, choose whatever wordage you want, community to use, as long as you are prepared for the conversation that it may warrant. And I love that about you. You're saying you're not come at me, but you know, obviously if there's a discussion about why I use the word as regularly as I do. And I think you proved it. And I don't want to beat the dead horse here, because, you know, you shared your opinion about, you know, it is what it is. I would rather be called that than some other sort of, you know, kid glove word to use an expression of yours. So good on you, man. And I think that we value and appreciate you regardless. And part of what I love here, and Andy and I have had, I've had an equally long, if not longer, relationship with you, Bretzky, but Andy and I, through our relationship with extended family and being like brothers, we often will agree to disagree. And that may be one of those moments, and you respect the person regardless, right?
Before we close this off, I think it is a great talking point. But Mr. Pilo, is there any words that, I guess besides that one, that you don't necessarily care for?
Yeah, no, I love, again, you called me sir earlier, and now it's Mr. Pilo. Look out. You guys are trying to remind me of what it's like to be at work, because it's been a little while. No, in terms of words that, you know, that bother me, there aren't many. And I don't have a huge problem with that one. It's just always been the one that's the most sort of archaic. But hearing Brett's explanation as to why gives me some new perspective on it. Again, I'm not that guy. I try not to be that guy. I remember sitting in a teacher's college course, and we're talking about, you know, the what ifs, you know, about, you know, let's say, for example, you have a student who uses a wheelchair, and this particular professor was very particular. I just said that word twice about how she would refer, or how we should refer to our students. They're not students who are in wheelchairs. They are students who use wheelchairs. Right. And I think very quickly, you know, we might be quick to say, as educators, sometimes I have, especially in that elementary school environment with the tighter communities, smaller classes, we might be quicker to say, you know, one of my students is in a wheelchair. And right away she was like, no, they're not in a wheelchair. They use a wheelchair. And I was like, and one of my other colleagues turned to me in that moment and said, does it really bother you? And I said, no, I don't really care. I would just prefer to be called Chad.
Yeah, but what do I use the wheelchair for?
Right? Yeah, right. Uses a wheelchair. Yeah, for functionality. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point, Brett. Right? Like, I mean, and it's, I get it. Like, especially, you know, public sector employee in education, you got to watch kind of what you say and the image that you're portraying. But at the same time, you're not bothering me with semantics, like your word choice. And again, we've just had at least 20 minute conversation on word choice, but your word choice there doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't bother me to have somebody refer to me as being in a wheelchair as opposed to somebody who uses one, because I'm in one majority of the day, probably at least 12 hours a day. I'm in my chair. So that doesn't bother me.
So my question then would be, Was this person giving this talk, was she a wheelchair user?
No, not at all.
So, but she's an expert on how to talk about it.
Right?
The question I would have is, are you actually in your wheelchair, or are you actually on top of your wheelchair? Because you're not actually in your wheelchair.
Well, you sit in a chair. Therefore, you sit in a chair with
wheels. No, but you know, no. Again, it's about word association. You don't actually sit in your chair; you sit on top of the chair.
Okay, but
deep thoughts with Brett Wills tonight.
We've got him fired up, and it makes for good thoughts. I think
that's it. I think, again, to jump back into that same story, and that, or that, at least that same day, you know, we had this conversation. This teacher was, or this professor, who was obviously everybody that I learned from was either currently still teaching or retired teachers, principals, whatever. And yeah, the particular person was, again, very adamant about the in versus uses sort of thing. And they asked me, because they said they had had a conversation with me ahead of time before. They said, this is what we're going to be talking about in class today. We're going to be chatting about, you know, adaptive equipment. And in particular, this was in a phys ed environment, right? So how do you, you know, accommodate special needs in a phys ed environment? And so the conversation was, you know, first of all, they went to me first. This is what we're going to be talking about. Are you comfortable with sharing your story? I said, oh, clearly you don't know me, because we're only a couple weeks into this course. I would love to talk about, you know, life and what I've seen and how phys ed has been adapted for me and for people like me. You know, and again, we're on this sort of semantic train about word choice, people like me, but whatever.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, of course.
So this is separate from the professor you were just talking about?
No, it was the same prof, like the day before.
Okay.
Like the day before, sort of said, this is the topic. Are you comfortable with it? Are you comfortable with sharing? So she goes off on this, you know, uses versus in. And then it led to some real great talking points with my colleagues in Teachers College for weeks, as we you know, had to build lessons and develop these units that we would use in our practicum placements and all this stuff. And it led to really great discussions with my fellow teachers about, like, you know, how do we approach this? And I said right away, step one, you know, is talk to the student. Step one is find out what the student is comfortable with, because they have to have their voice. Don't assume that you are modifying a program. They may not even need the modifications, right? And therefore the modifications could end up, you could be end up modifying things so severely, or that's a tough word, so much so you can end up over modifying, so that the kid feels like they're not doing anything.
So right? hold on, wait. Your pushback was get to know the person before the disability.
I suppose so.
That's mind-blowing.
Right? I didn't pick up on your sarcasm there initially, Andy. I was like, what did I do wrong? Right? Like, I mean, that's it. Step one, have the conversation. You know, and if the person with the disability, to use a politically correct term, is not able to have that conversation, then use the educational assistant in the room, or call a parent, or have a conversation about what that child, that student is capable of. It's very simple.
Okay, so I feel like I'm asking a lot of questions, and usually...
Hey, can you hold off on asking your question for a minute?
Absolutely, but I've had a few concussions, so I might forget.
So, Chad, I've got two trains of thought here.
Uh-oh.
Number one is you're actually bang on.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay, good.
Number two is, I wonder if anybody ever failed Teachers College, because if I was sitting in that class, seminar, discussion, whatever, I would tell the instructor that he's full of shit and just wheel out of the room.
Well, I definitely didn't do that.
Bretsky, we don't agree often, but that was going to be my question. How much did you push back?
Not at all. My answer is not at all in the moment. When it happened, I didn't push back at all. You, of all people, Andy, those closest to me know that I am the most unconfrontational guy on the planet. So I didn't let it get to me in the moment. What I did do, though, go ahead.
Statement, I guess, because exactly what you're saying, you're not confrontational, but you don't have a filter a lot of times, but you're very well spoken when you need to be, whereas me, if we're contrasting the two of us, if I do get fired up, I would tend to lean more to Brett, where it'd just be like, you're not a smart person. Sure.
That was a very PC way of saying it.
It boggles my mind that a person would, like, what qualifies this person to be an expert? Clearly it's not your life experience, right? And then you have somebody in the room who uses a wheelchair, and that person is like, no, you're not correct. Well, yes, I am. Like, it makes no sense to me.
I mean, so yeah, if I could jump in for a second, I had the most probably an incredibly positive experience through Teachers College, and a lot of those people that were teaching me, I still remain in contact with to this day. That's not to say that this person who I'm speaking of is going to listen to this podcast, because I don't know. But I would certainly say that there wasn't ever an issue of you're wrong, I know better. Again, just because I'm not the challenging type. What did happen after that was a lot of discussion between myself and my peers who were in school with me around how to have those conversations. I think the person, the prof, had people in her classes in the past who had disabilities, and she referred to them as people who use wheelchairs as opposed to students who were in wheelchairs. Again, it's a semantic game. She was a dynamic educator. She's still, you know, probably, I would imagine she wasn't that old, so I would imagine she's still active in the education world, and to each their own. But again, for me, as clearly validated by the two of you today, because of, you know, what we have dealt with in our own experiences. But to me, it's have the conversation first, right? Look at the person first, talk to the person first, and go from there. Because that person, whoever it is, whether they are in a wheelchair or use wheelchairs, whatever, that person has a name, and they have an identity. They have, you know, feelings that need to be validated, and so you have those conversations.
And you said something about semantics. I just want to point out that you're going to talk to a 6-year-old way differently than you're going to talk to a 16-year-old.
Yeah, 100%.
So you might use the politically correct term with your 6-year-old. And maybe you're going to have the discussion with the 16-year-old as to what they want to be called. Do they want to be called Chad? Do they want to be called disabled? Do they want to be called crippled? Do they just want to be left alone?
Yeah. Listen, guys, let's get rid of all the fluff, right? Fluff is maybe the wrong term, but it'll make sense. Just listen. When you introduce yourself to somebody, let's take the wheelchair out of it, right? I don't walk up to you and be like, "Hi, blonde hair, slightly overweight, blue eyes." You know what I mean? I say
my eyes are green. The other two were correct.
Oh, okay. But I would say, "Hi, I'm Andy. What's your name?" You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I would hope, and I honestly would hope, and I would pray that nobody has ever come up to you, either of you, and said, hey, wheelchair guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, to maybe tie a bow on this, although, you know, it's been amazing having this conversation that we didn't even know was going to happen tonight. And I'm totally with you, Andy, that some of our best moments have come from this. But I remember having a specific conversation about wordage and what and this came from one of my peers. This wasn't the prof. This was after the same conversation, probably during the same, you know, full class instruction period where we're all there. One of my peers who I had a decent relationship with and knew me well enough that they knew this wasn't going to offend me. They said, like, what is the proper way? You know, they were worried about being politically correct, because I think as a new, and probably because of where they were in their journey, they're brand new in school, trying to get hired, trying to play the game that needs to be played to make the impression on the right people. You know, I didn't want to offend anybody and said, well, what's the proper term? Like, what is it, you know, is it a handicapped student, a disabled student? Like, what do I call them? And honestly, right away, without missing a beat, I said, I like to be called Chad. And it and it added to, like, the laughter just kind of trickled in from there, right? Because it put my personality on display, my transparency on display, but also spoke to who I am as a person, and also kind of presented the idea that that's where it should start. It starts with the person's name, not a label or an identity.
I'm still blown away by the question, what are your qualifications?
The teacher or Chad? I guess.
Well, I know what Chad's qualifications are.
Again, Chad probably knows this professor. Not probably. Chad knows this professor better than either of us, obviously. So I don't think there was any intent to be offensive. But my thing is, if you have a wheelchair user in the room and they're just being like, no, that's not the case, then I don't know how you push back on that.
Yeah. And again, just to, you know, just to try to put a bow on this and wrap it up, there wasn't, you know, wasn't pushback for me in the moment. What was encouraging was the amount of quality conversation I had with my peers afterwards about what it looks like in real life. And again, using those air quotes that nobody could see, you know, about real life. But, you know, because I've lived it, and again, I keep going back to it, and I hadn't revisited this moment, you know, since it happened in 2011. I'm almost 10 years out of teacher's college here. But the refreshing part was, again, the amount of conversations that we had about it, the amount of conversations I had with my peers that said, and again, I'm not an ego guy, but to have conversations with my peers that say, we're blessed to have you in this class because we gain some real perspective, right? And so that was cool to hear. Yeah, so typically we have our dot jots, we have our talking points, and this one came out of left field, and I'm actually, you know, very grateful for it. Well, listen, guys, in the spirit of transparency, we've covered a lot tonight, and I will say that this has been a very productive one. There have been episodes where, whether we've had a guest on or even when it's the three of us, and I think you're your own worst critic, as, you know, we've all become deeply invested in this podcast that I at one time referred to as Andy's baby because it was his idea. But there's been moments where I leave and go, we didn't bring enough attention to, you know, the heart of our podcast is, you know, I was going to say the disabled community or people with disabilities or whatever. We didn't play the disabled card, and that's a terrible way to say it. We didn't approach enough, you know, disability content in this episode. And I've said that in the past before. This is definitely not one of those episodes because we have covered a lot tonight, big chunk of it that we didn't even plan on talking about. So thanks a lot, guys, for some real talk.
No, it's been good.
Bretzky, thinking of you, brother, as you are back in the six and continue to document your journey through cottage life, because I'm enjoying it, man. And I can't wait for a time where we can all be up there together so that we can see that water trampoline in action.
Hopefully when we get back, it'll still be in front of the cottage.
That's amazing.
My mom did tie it to a tree, but next week I think I've got some stuff that I'm gonna share. I'll think about it this week, and we'll certainly get back to you.
Beauty. If you don't know what we're talking about the water trampoline, now's the point where I remind you can go back and listen to any of the old episodes on any podcatching device of your choice. It's been a good one, Internet. Thanks, boys. We appreciate your time for listening. And as always, guys, I appreciate this little brotherhood that we have. On behalf of the team, you've heard another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Cheers.